south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, before I finish off with a really great story about the life and loves of expat Eddie, continued from the last two shows, I promised some people I'd get to some really pertinent emails. And believe me, these things have a lot of relevance to those gringos and expats who are doing their plan B, especially gringos and expats whose plan is possibly living off the grid or partially off the grid or way out in the boonies where there's no cable internet service. So people really want to know about the force and stability of internet service and electric power service. They say, Johnny, about that electric power grid in Latin America, I understand it goes on and off all the time. I don't know if I'd be able to deal with 3 or 4 hours, or worse yet, a day or so without electric power. All right, so I get that question all the time, and I'm here to tell you, pretty much throughout Latin America, there will be small power outages. I think I had 3 last month, each lasting less than 2 minutes. However, I know a few Bitcoin and cryptocurrency miners. They've had as many as 30 tiny power outages a month, most of them practically imperceptible to the rest of us. But to a crypto miner whose hardware is cranking away 24/7 depending on solid flow of power, I understand it can be a bit infuriating depending on what kind of mining you're doing, because there are different types. I understand that with some hardware, if the power kicks off for even a second, you have to reinitialize your equipment. In other words, if you're not around, it could be a pain in the ass, which is why it's always good to have a few UPSs around the house. No, not UPS, the delivery guys. I'm talking about uninterrupted power supplies. Of course, you won't need one of those if you're using a laptop computer all the time, because they got built-in batteries just for that eventuality. However, if you've got some really sensitive electronic equipment, like, for example, a surveillance camera system, or, like me, audio equipment I'm doing the show with right now, even a tiny power outage for a second or two could screw up a recording. By the way, a power outage here is called an apagón. Apagón. Anyway, if you have some real sensitive electronic equipment, you really should have one of those little UPS battery backups. They're only $50 to $100. Because if you don't, you just might find out the hard way it was worth the expense. Of course, if you're running off-the-grid solar, that's not going to happen to you because you'll be connected at all times. But really, how many people do you know that are completely off-the-grid? Hey, I'm close. I'm getting there. And if you come down, you should think about doing that too. In any event, I always recommend that you have a little backup gas or diesel generator. I've got one. It's a small one on wheels. I think I got it at Costco. In fact, since I've been down here, I've always had access to a generator. And I have to say, in the 28 years I've been down, I probably used a generator about twice a year. And I'd say only about 5 of those times did the power outage last more than 4 hours. And only twice more than 24 hours, and that was during the rainy season when a tree fell down on a power line or blew out a transformer. And these days, now that most all electric companies are privatized, they're really fast on the draw as far as repair and maintenance. Probably not as fast as up in Cleveland, but compared to the old days, man, they're quick. Even so, it's a great investment to get yourself a little generator. Then buy yourself 4 5-gallon jerry cans. You'll have 20 gallons of gasoline around at all times. But don't store them in the sun and don't store them in the house. Down here, you can get a decent generator at any hardware store for $300 to $500. Just make sure you start it up every 6 months to get the parts moving. And by the way, it's always excellent advice to use Mobil 1 100% synthetic oil in the crankcase. Of course, I know a few gringos living way out in the boonies that have very big diesel generators, just in case. Because, you know, the farther you are out in the boonies, the longer it will take for the electric company to come out and fix the problem. So that's a question I get a lot. How stable is the power and the electric grid? Well, I'll tell you this. It's 1,000 times better than it was way back when I first got down here. In fact, in the early days when I was first hanging out in Costa Rica and Colombia, it was just routine to get a couple of big power outages a week. In fact, you could pretty much count on at least 1 4-hour outage every weekend. On weekends, you know, people are home using a lot more electricity. In fact, I remember when I was doing little tours up and down the Atlantic coast with my genuine gringo rock and roll party band, of which I was the only gringo amongst 3 exceptionally talented Latinos, many times, right during a set, we'd have a power outage for 10 or 20 minutes. That kind of thing was so common it didn't even faze anyone. The bars and discos were ready with the candles. Speaking of candles, it's a tradition down here because of the power outages in the past. Every Latin house has a nice supply of candles. So it's true, power outages do exist, and they happen a lot more frequently than you're used to. But since all the grids down here have been strengthened and most of them privatized, it's not at all much of a problem anymore, except in the people's paradises of Venezuela and Cuba. Yep, they still get a lot of power outages there, and also in really poor backward Latin countries who are operating with severe lag time like Guyana and Belize. In other words, if I lived in Belize, I'd have as one of my priorities getting off the grid, and I'd also have a standby diesel generator, a big one. Yep, in Belize, especially out in the boonies, they have lots of power outages, except for the Keys, those party islands that are pretty much first world, where upscale gringos have bought into many nice development projects, at gringo prices, too. All right, enough on electric power in the grid. Let's talk about internet service. That would be the second most often asked question, besides the mating, dating, romance thing, of course. Because, you know, if the internet sucks, you're not going to be a happy camper. Which brings me to this email from Edgar. But before we get into it, let me remind you that throughout Latin America, there are around 5 major internet companies. Yep, and they all have a smartphone service too, and some of them even have internet TV or satellite TV options. That means each and every one of those big telecommunications companies offers pretty much the same service throughout all its Latin American branches. Now, the 3 big ones are Tigo, that's T-I-G-O, Claro, C-L-A-R-O, that's a company owned by Carlos Fatboy Sim from Mexico. And then you've got Movistar. That's M-O-V-I-S-T-A-R. That's a company out of Spain. There are a couple more companies, but those 3 have a huge presence in Latin America and are in direct competition, which is a great thing for us consumers. For example, all 3 of them offer smartphone service, high-speed cable internet, and wireless internet modems if you're out of range of cable. All 3 of them offer cable TV and satellite TV service, too. All right, then, with that background, let me read you this email from Edgar. As usual, I'll paraphrase and add my comments for your greater understanding, or perhaps just to confuse you a little more. Anyway, he says, "Dear Johnny, I've been on a Movistar modem, that's one of those 3 big companies, for around 6 weeks now." By the way, that means Edgar lives a bit out in the boonies where they don't have a cable connection. He was using a wireless modem offered by the Movistar company. All right, just some background here. Wireless modems like that cost around $100, a one-time cost, and then have a monthly fee. Now, for something like $30 a month, you get 150 gigabytes, uploads and downloads. Now, that's a hell of a lot of gigs. Now, let me point out that at the end of every month, you can check a website and see how many gigs you've used. And in my case, I have a similar modem, and the maximum monthly upload and download gigs I've ever used was 75. So the one Edgar is talking about here has a maximum of 150 gigs a month for $30. Quite a deal. Anyway, he says, "I did an upgrade on my data speed and increased from 4 to 10 megabytes per second. And guess what, Johnny? I managed to blow through the whole 150 gigabytes I get per month before my month was through. So the service terminated." Then he says, "Maybe watching YouTube all day cuts into that 150 gig limit. Well, Edgar, it's me, Johnny, here. I'm afraid that's internet, so yes, it cuts into your daily limit, and YouTube sucks the gigs, doesn't it? You guys with smartphones out there with gig limits know what I'm talking about. You look at enough YouTubes, and man, it eats up your service fast, doesn't it?" All right, then he says, "Plus, Johnny, maybe I'm eating into my limit by streaming some Pandora with my smartphone logged into that modem." Yes, Edgar, I'm afraid so. Then he says, "Suddenly, at 2 p.m. yesterday, zilch. I kept getting the Movistar screen saying the account was out of gigs. I was able to get away with ignoring that for a couple of days, but finally I got locked out totally. Now, my landlord logged into the online account for me." I guess Edgar doesn't speak much Spanish because those notices come in Spanish down here. And he had to have his landlord do it. And he says he found that my balance was at zero. He looked at the data usage and noticed it was quite large. Now, Johnny, I live in an apartment complex of 3 apartments, and I'm the only one using this modem. I'm the only one with a password. So I don't think I could blame the excessive usage on anyone else. So in the end, Johnny, I'm hoping to find out if my company, Movistar, will provide a 300 gigabyte limit. That would be double what I have now. I think that a Claro company modem might provide unlimited data, though their service is the pits. Lots of problems, I hear. At least around here. Thought you might find this info interesting, if not useful. Best regards, expat Edgar. All right, Edgar, thanks for that. Let me start out with my comments by saying, man, I don't know anybody, not any private person anyway, that uses 300 gigabytes download and upload a month. Even 150 gigs is excessive. Look at it this way. If you were to download a brand new Hollywood movie, it'd be around 2 gigs of memory in HD. So let's say you downloaded one movie a day. That's 60 gigs, right? And you say you burnt out 150 gigs before your month was due? That means you could download 75 HD movies a month before you reached your limit. Man, you know anybody who watches 75 movies a month? You know what, Frank? I think you watch too much TV or you're addicted to YouTube. But who knows? Though there are some solutions. One is to turn your modem off at night and when you go out of the house. Okay, just for everyone's information, if you have regular cable internet here in Latin America, there are various plans and all the big companies like Claro, Movistar, Tigo offer unlimited service. However, in Edgar's case, out in the boonies where he doesn't have cable, he's got to use a wireless modem or satellite internet. And his wireless modem has a monthly limit. In fact, a pretty big one if you ask me. The good news is that technology is marching on at a very fast clip, and I just found out that one of the big three companies, Tigo, is now offering a wireless modem. Again, it's $100 one-time cost, and I believe it's around $30 a month or less for unlimited uploads and downloads. Now, admittedly, most gringos and expats don't know enough Spanish to read the newspapers or check out the ads, so they normally wouldn't know the ins and outs of the different internet services because they change so rapidly. Another good reason to start learning that Spanish, huh? So anyway, just to let everyone know, even if you live way out in the boonies, there are some really great wireless modem options with the big corporations and, of course, satellite internet too. And you know, in my case, I'm living way up the Gringo Tourist Trail, far out in the boonies, at least an hour away from the center of a big city. I don't have cable internet nor satellite internet because I have one of those little modems too. Of course, it's from one of the big three companies I mentioned and it's rock solid and stable. Even in the rainy season, in the worst of climates, it still chugs along nicely. And I've had this particular one maybe 6 months now, and it hasn't cut out or pooped out on me once. Now, these are the kinds of things we talk about at my Expat Insider Seminars. We spend a couple hours updating people on this stuff, and I've even put together a report outlining the upgrades and recent changes to date. I mean, come on, where else are you going to get this kind of information? But for me and other expats and people actually using that stuff, people in the thick of it, right here south of the border. So IT, internet, telephone, TV, and utility hookups are just a few of the dozens of topics we hit on at my Expat Insider Seminar. The next one coming up will begin on Saturday, July 7th, and go through Thursday, July 12th, 2018. I'm putting together all the details right now, and if you want to get on the early bird discount list and get the mailings and info before the news goes out to the general public, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll put you on that list. Oh, and just one more thing about cable, internet, and smartphone service. There are two different ways to obtain that stuff down here. One is with a contract, usually 12 or 18 months, and you'll need a fiador. That would be your lawyer, which is why you have to hook up with a Latin lawyer when you get down here. He's basically the professional reference that you'll need. So what's that going to cost you? Well, if you're his client, let's say you're applying for residency, whatever, he might do that for nothing. But if you haven't been doing any work with him at all and you just walk in his office for that one thing, maybe he'll charge you $25. Anyway, that's what you'll need if you sign up for a contract plan, which usually includes a smartphone, internet service, and TV. Now, the second way to get those services, which I think doesn't happen in the first world at all, only down here, is to sign up and pay month to month. Then you don't need a fiador or any of that stuff. So then how's that possible? Well, that's because there are so many poor, middle-class, and indigenous people who don't have stable jobs or work for cash, so there's no record, and they don't have a lawyer who's a fiador. A lot of them don't have a bank account or credit cards, and all that documentation you'll need if you're going to sign a contract. By the way, being that I'm a private, anonymous kind of guy, I don't have an internet or phone service with a contract. I'm on the pay-as-you-go plan, which is just fine. In fact, more than just fine. So what's the difference between the two? Well, not much, except you don't have to give up all those personal debts and you pay month to month in advance, instead of on a contract where it's deducted automatically from your bank account or credit card. So once a month, I pop into my local telecommunications agency and pay in cash for the month ahead. I could pay online, but that destroys your anonymity, doesn't it? Now, for example, in the case of the modem, I pay $20 a month. I selected the 75 gig a month download plan, which isn't the biggest plan, but it suits me fine. And like I said, if you sign up for one of those services without a contract, you don't need a Fiador. Lawyer, that is. You don't need utility bills, bank statements, or credit cards at all. There'll be no direct withdrawals because you're paying up front for the upcoming month. Oh, and by the way, another very nice Gringo advantage comes into play here. When you sign up for the pay-as-you-go plan, they'll want to see your DPI or residency card. Of course, you're a gringo and you might not be a resident yet, so you'll pull out your passport, right? My advice, don't give them your passport. Give them a copy of your passport. They'll take that in a flash. And for those gringos who really want to remain anonymous, they often do a little photoshopping on that copy before they print it and give it to the guy. Can you smell a big advantage there? So am I telling you to do something illegal? Are you breaking the law? Well, I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just advising you on what many astute gringos and expats do to maintain the smallest footprint, internet and otherwise, possible. Because, you know, once you give up your real passport, dats and such to some big telecommunications giant, your data is going to get out there and sold every which way, just like Google, Yahoo, Gmail, Twaddle, Fakebook, and all of them do. So why buy into that game if you don't have to? Down here, anyway, a little strategic photoshopping and you can maintain a very low profile. And when they try to disseminate and sell your data, which they will, you'll have the last laugh because you're giving them the virtual finger. And what's not to like about that? All right, now here's an email from a very nice, smart young guy who came to one of my Expat Insider seminars. He says, Senor Johnny, I hope you've recovered from your U.S.-inflicted American flu. We need you to keep up the good work. Of course, he's referring to the fact that during the last seminar in January 2018, your North American first world flu hitched a ride down to Central America, and every one of us at the seminar got a touch of it, some of us more than others. Sure, we all recovered nicely, but that's the first time it ever happened. I understand that thing did a lot of damage up in the States. Quite a few people actually died. Oh, well. You know, the flu did make it here to Central and South America and never had a single report of anyone dying. Which begs the question, you guys and gals up there with all your vaccines, why so many mortalities up there and none to speak of down here? Funny thing, down here in Latin America, no one, except certain gringos and expats who insisted, got the flu shot. How do you account for that? Sounds like the perfect biology or immunology master's thesis, doesn't it? One that'll surely get suppressed or called fake news. But I digress as usual. Then Mr. M writes in his email, regarding your recent podcast about the real estate bubble in Latin America, I don't think you could have been talking about Zone 10 in Guatemala. Because when in Guatemala, we had been looking in and around Zone 10 and 14. By the way, those are two very high-end districts in Guatemala City. First world malls, first world amenities, gated guided communities, and residential towers. Upscale all the way. Then he says, we were looking at apartments in Zone 10 and 14 in Guatemala City, but we're getting quoted around $200 US, more than the dollar numbers you mentioned in your stories on your show. Are we looking in the wrong areas, perhaps, or maybe we're taking the wrong approach? Then he says, a bit off the subject, have you started mining Bitcoin or crypto down there yet? Hope all is well. Talk soon, Mr. M. All right, Mr. M, thanks for those questions. They're good ones. But guess what? You've stumbled on the exception to the rule. In big cities throughout Latin America, you'll almost never get a great deal when you're apartment hunting in those high-end zones, especially in the capital city of a country, where all the first world hotel chains are located, as well as the U.S. Embassy and multiple other embassies and consulates are located. And in Guatemala City, that just happens to be in those two zones you were looking at, Zone 10 and Zone 14. Of course, in other big Latin cities, they'll be located in different zones and subdivisions. Often in zones, locals will refer to as a zona viva or zona rosa. Zona viva meaning the zone of life or the lively zone, and zona rosa meaning the rose zone. So then you might ask, why are those particular zones the exception to the real estate bubble rule, where it's a renter's market, even a renter's paradise? Well, the answer is easy. Any area that's close to the high-end business district where all the first world hotels are, like Marriott, Intercontinental, Hyatt, Hilton, those are the exclusive areas where the embassy and embassy staff people are forced to rent. That's the rule, they've got no choice. So the rentals in those districts are always artificially high. For example, over the years I've known some embassy people and they're told, you can only live in this zone and this zone. One guy told me he gets $2,400 a month rental allowance, but he can only live in certain neighborhoods in Zone 10 and 14. Man, anywhere else you could rent a mansion. You could rent two mansions for that. Again, we're talking Guatemala City. though it's typical with any big Latin city. So what do you get for $2,400 a month in zone 10 or 14? A very nice 2,000 square foot penthouse. But you'd pay half of that or less if it was anywhere else. Just like in the tourist towns of Latin America, if you're anywhere near the Central Park, the rents are going to be twice as high than if you were maybe just a 20-minute walk in any direction from there. So bottom line, though the real estate bubble is huge and ready to burst, in those high-end business and residential districts close to where all the action is and all the convention centers, those will be the last to feel the effects. It'll happen, but there'll be a lag time too. So if right now you're searching around for your own best Plan B destination, if you want to know where the highest rents are, the ones that are closest to Gringo prices, just do an internet search to see where all the first world hotel chains and embassies are. For example, I just got an email from a friend of mine who's living in Medellin, Colombia. He's kind of a fresh green expat down there, and he said, Johnny, you know, I couldn't be happier. I found a nice three-bedroom apartment in the popular Poblado district for only $1,400 a month. He said in Washington, D.C., he'd be paying twice that, probably over $3,000 a month. Though the problem, he says, and I've mentioned this many times on the show, there are parts of Medellin, Colombia, where you cannot walk without bumping into a bunch of gringos. Same problem in all of Costa Rica, parts of Panama, and most of Mexico. But you knew that already, right? All right, finally, Mr. M asks in his email about Bitcoin and crypto mining. Man, it's alive and well down here in Latin America. I could tell you some really cool stories. I'll save them for another show. Actually, it's only alive and well amongst gringos and expats who are clued into that kind of stuff. The Latins are clueless, but supremely curious, and why not? They all think it's money for nothing, which means there's a particularly very ripe niche developing for gringos and expats who want to make some big dough. I'll certainly be talking about that on a future show, so stay tuned. But right now, the continuing saga of the life and loves of Expat Eddie. Now, if you heard the last few shows, I was talking about how Expat Eddie and his runway model girlfriend got together. And of course, at first sight, everyone mumbles, she's got her gringo and he's got his arm candy, because certainly, Eddie's nothing to look at, but then neither am I. Though what they don't know is that she's a talented artist. Problem is, wrong place, wrong time, wrong talent. Art, no matter how good, unless you're connected, does not pay the bills in Latin America. Now, naturally, since their romance is taking place completely off the gringo tourist trail, not to mention, when they met, Eddie knew 20 words of Spanish and she 20 words of English. As a result, they've had plenty of cultural clashes, but they've always kissed and made up. Eddie, of course, is a great supporter and her number one fan, but he's told me more than once, you know, Johnny, she's got everything going for her except self-esteem. So what's that supposed to mean? Well, take it for what it's worth, but there's a lot of that going around these days in the first world and down here. In fact, as many world-class analysts will tell you, low self-esteem can be a very good motivator. Many high achievers are in that boat, which brings us to a story that needs to be told. So here goes. As it turns out, about 6 months into Eddie and Claudia's relationship, Claudia's younger sister announced that she was getting married, and of course, Claudia, her sisters, and her mother went into wedding preparation mode. That's really big down here. And you know, it's totally a girl thing. Guys do what they're told, and otherwise, stay completely out of it. So anyway, about a month before the wedding, there was a ladies' powwow at Claudia's mother's house, and Eddie was in the living room watching The Walking Dead in Spanish. He calls it Spanish for slow learners because zombies don't talk all that much. Suddenly, he heard yelling coming from the kitchen. It was Claudia. Next thing you know, Claudia's in the living room, tears in her eyes, saying, "Let's go, Eddie." And here's what happened, and I don't think this could ever happen up in the first world. Well, the ladies were making out the guest list. Around 200 people were coming. By the way, weddings are huge events in Latin America, and parents always overspend and borrow to impress their relatives and neighbors. Often, they're paying for it for years. Sound familiar? Anyway, Claudia's mother and sister had previously made up a guest list, so when Claudia was reviewing the guest list, she saw Uncle Jorge on it. She said, "Uncle Jorge, I forbid it. He's not coming to the wedding. If he does, I won't be there." And Claudia was the maid of honor. Turns out when Claudia was just 14 years old, Uncle Jorge tried to rape her. You see, everyone looks up to Uncle Jorge. He's got a nice car, has a business, kind of the patriarch, godfather of the family. Now, to us, he'd be solid middle class, but in Latin America, upper middle class, because he had his own successful clothing store. Luckily, he and his wife and four kids lived a couple hundred miles away in another city, so Claudia was able to avoid him for years. So what happened? Well, when Claudia was just 14, coming home from school, getting off the chicken bus stop. Her house was about an 8-block walk away. That was when, surprise, surprise, Uncle Jorge pulled up, rolled down the window, said, "Get in, I'll give you a ride." Now, Uncle Jorge didn't come around much, always treated her nice, so she was happy to see him. Well, he made a detour into a supermarket parking lot. He looked at her, put his hand on her leg, reached up under her skirt. You know, schoolgirls in Latin America always wear uniforms with skirts. Anyway, she just freaked out, screamed, and started fighting him. Scratched him real good in the face and arm. She fought her way out of the car, ran home, told her mother and her sisters, and guess what? They made all kinds of excuses for Uncle Jorge because, well, you know, he's the patriarch of the family. Her mother said either she provoked it or she was exaggerating. "Mustn't make a big deal out of it," her mother said. "Don't start anything," she said. "How would it look?" So fast forward about 10 years. Claudia's sisters get married and he's on the wedding list. And since Claudia did keep her mouth shut and no one in the family mentioned that incident, if he'd have been invited, he'd have showed. But Claudia's mother said she never sent him an invitation. Well, here's what happened. The wedding day came. Claudia's mother said, "Don't worry, he won't show up." He didn't, not at the wedding anyway. However, later that afternoon, in the parking lot of the reception hall, who pulls up larger than life with his family in tow? Uncle Jorge. When he gets out of the car, Claudia sees him, says to Eddie, "Oh no, he's here." Claudia says, "I can't believe it. Sin vergüenza. The guy's got no shame." Now, it's still daylight, around 5 o'clock. There are some people mulling around the parking lot. Eddie gets out of the car, walks up to the guy and says, "So you're Uncle Jorge, right?" He says, "Yeah. Nice to meet you. And you, Americano?" Demonstrating his 5-word English vocabulary. Then Eddie said, "Claudia's fiancé. You remember your niece Claudia, don't you?" The guy smiled and Eddie punched him right in the face in front of everyone. Flattened him on his ass. "And now you're going to go home, right? Because nobody wants you here." Well, after that, turns out it was a different kind of wedding. Lots of talk and rumors going around, and Eddie didn't understand any of it because his Spanish really sucked. Now, you might have thought Eddie was the hero of that event, but he wasn't. Turns out, later that night, Claudia's mother cornered her in the bathroom and said, "How embarrassing. He's an abusive and violent man. Has he been hitting you, too? You can tell me. If you want, we can call the police and file charges on him." She was talking about Eddie, of course. Then she said to her mother, "There's something really wrong with this family. How is it possible that Eddie's the villain and Uncle Jorge's the victim?" Then her mother said, "Well, it's your life, your choice. If you want to be with a violent guy..." And Claudia just sat there with her mouth open and didn't know what to say. You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos.